Looking forward to this. We're going to reconnect with our old buddy from Sportsnet, Nick Kyprios from the Real Kipper and Bourne show on Sportsnet. Tell some tales from trade deadline days past, as well as get some information. This is 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Glad you're with us on YouTube and the various podcast platforms. What's your podcast platform of the day?
I'm a Spotify guy.
You are?
Yeah, that's where my unbelievably very good playlist is.
Oh, yes. I'm iHeart. I go there because of the different radio stations. So when I'm out for a ride, I can, as long as I'm within cell service, I'm iHeart normally.
Yeah, no, I Spotify's good for me, and they do. As I said, when I have a podcast, it's there, and we're on Spotify, obviously, and then my great music, because I'm such a music aficionado, mm-hmm. You know that.
Yeah.
Know, right.
Yeah. You know. Genre?
All over the map. Mm. We're talking...
That's such a mail-in answer.
Heinz 57, baby.
Such a mail-in answer. Give me two songs in your playlist.
That would
reflect your Heinz 57. Like I have a Barney Bentle, Jim Cuddy.
Oh no,
Bon Jovi guy.
I got some K-pop on. I got K-pop on mine. I got lots of Jason Aldean. I got some Michael McDonald from the 80s. I'm all over the map. One of my favorite singers of all time is Patti LaBelle. I love Patti LaBelle stuff. So, you know, I'm older, you know.
I thought you were going to say Patti Lanterns and Kim Mitchell.
No offense, Kim. I've never been a Kim Mitchell fan. I've never been a Kim Mitchell fan.
You know. Used to go to him all the time when we lived in Toronto with Wally and company, Jim Neesh, my buddy there. So I'd like to see you walking down the street.
You never invited me to a concert. You invited me to a concert.
I didn't really know you then. And if
no,
I did,
you were,
I
was, you're, let's face it, you were afraid of me. So.
Yeah, I was scared of you. Yeah, totally. I absolutely admit that. I want to see you with those big Beat headphones walking down the street with Gordy.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That would be cool. With a bit of groove.
Oh no, there's the groove. I mean, the neighbors laugh all the time. I'm dancing. Gordy's dancing. People are looking at me like, is that some sort of physical disability?
You're looking forward to the thaw in the weather, and we're looking forward to the same thing on the trade deadline front. It's taken longer to get this thing going. And Jarmo Kekalainen and Jim Rutherford appear to be right. It's a slow market.
Yeah, because I do think the new rules, like not being able to pass on some of your salary to a third team, I think that's a big factor. I think that not being able, being forced to have a salary cap for playoffs has played a factor. I think that a lot of teams are a little reticent to do anything because they think they still have a chance, so they're not going to have wholesale change. And then the part we don't understand, and I've talked about this before, is pressure from ownership. Ownership saying we have to do it this way. And make no mistake about it, owners are involved. Owners are pushing a lot of buttons, and we don't necessarily hear about it ever. But it's one of those things where owners are going to say, okay, here's our internal cap. And no, I don't want to spend that money. No, I don't want a guy making $3 million in the minors. Those are things that are factors in what's gone on this week and what's going to happen before 3 Eastern time on Friday.
Two teams that I'm keeping an eye on who aren't getting a lot of play right now, but have had incredible seasons, because we're kind of focused on teams that are on the up or battling for a playoff position. But Colorado, will they do anything more? Mm-hmm. And Chris McFarland says that the guys have earned the opportunity. And Dallas, they've been really quiet compared to a year ago when they made the splash with Mikko Rantanen.
Yes, they have.
And they're playing great.
Now, Colorado did make the Brett Kulak trade already.
Yeah.
which, you know, Stuart Skinner, Tristan Jari is Kyle Dubas's version of the gift that keeps on giving, because Kyle mm-hmm. seems to be able to flip it and get more. And you have to wonder what's going on there. The Dallas one's an interesting one because so much of what I think Jim has to think about and worry about is how do I, you know, if I can't go and trade big. I can't go big game hunting because I still have to make sure that if I go big game hunting, that I don't get haunted by it when I need to sign Jason Robertson. You know, that's looming one way or the other for the Dallas Stars. So that if it's a pure rental, but then, you know, Jim Neal has never been one to do pure rentals, right? I mean, even mm-hmm. Rantanen, you know, they got him signed in order to keep him before they could even consummate the trade last year. So, that one's one of those ones that you look at and say, I can understand. And the other question is some of these teams are good enough now. And do you dare change the chemistry of your hockey club? I think, for instance, I think that that's a real challenge in Buffalo right now.
I agree with you 100%. We talked to Kekalainen about that.
Yeah. Chemistry is, they seem to be on a real high right now in Buffalo. I mean, and you know, and they seem to be doing things so with such ease that you look at it and say, wow, that's impressive. Their top four defensemen are so good right now.
Yeah, 3 30 point guys.
You know, and the big
they
question,
give up chances. I will say this. They give up too many chances.
Yeah, well, and I think that's what Yarmo's trying to fix. But the one caveat in Buffalo is Josh Norris going to stay healthy? Mm-hmm. And because he hasn't in his career, that's his MO. He doesn't stay healthy, but when he's healthy, he's an elite hockey player, and he complements what Tage Thompson does so many ways.
You were in Buffalo last night to see the Sabres 3-2 victory over the Vegas Golden Knights. A tale of two games. You get a chance to see one Vegas division leader in the Pacific, and two the up and coming Sabres. The Sabres were that was an interesting game because a bit of a mile marker or a test for them, and they passed.
They did to an extent. Those two quick goals by the Golden Knights in the second period, though, were ones that you're saying, how does that happen? You know, I mean, you know, Vegas does a good job of being a little patient at times and then just taking advantage of it. The one thing I will say, and I don't expect you to comment because I'd be concerned about Mark Stone. I really would. And how,
well, it's day to day, still on the trip. So,
yeah. Yeah, I know. That to me, you do wonder if you know, Kelly and George are trying to find a way to, because that's a lot of offense to lose, and that's a lot of emotion to lose, and that's a lot of leadership to lose if it becomes more than day to day, right?
Yeah.
So that's the one you look at and say, whoa, I hope he's okay long term.
Absolutely. But the fact that he stayed on the trip, mm-hmm. It's a 5-game road trip. They've got one game left to come against Detroit. He didn't come home, so right. That's encouraging.
Yeah, I can't read those tea leaves. So,
I'm an expert at tea leaves.
And the other one is I said this yesterday on Edmonton radio. And it was about 8 minutes before they announced the Michael McCarron trade. I think Minnesota, Bill Guerin's going to be really aggressive by Friday. Bill Guerin's going to try to improve his team again. As if he hasn't done enough already, because there that central division is going to be so difficult to get out of.
Yeah, that's the gauntlet, and then in the East, it's like open for anybody.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's a good chance Buffalo wins the Eastern Conference, and I'm not talking about playoffs, I'm talking about regular season. When you think about how well they're playing and the ups and downs that Tampa's now having. They've lost a couple, including badly to Buffalo at home. And they play in Buffalo on Sunday night. Those are measuring stick games. Kara, I'm one of those guys, Darren. I'm sorry, and maybe we have seven listeners in North Carolina. I am not sold on the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm just not. I'm sorry. I'm not. I can't be. You know, great. They have some unbelievable players. You know, is there a better defensive defenseman than Jacob Slavin? No, there isn't. He's that good. You have to love, you know, the energy of Seth Jarvis and the talent of Sebastian Aho. You know, and you know, they went out and tried to find that, you know, that big game hunting expedition last year, and it didn't work. And so what does Carolina do to try to change their fortune in the playoffs? You know, are the Carolina Hurricanes the Susan Lucci of hockey?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Nick Kyprios is coming up. He's got a unique way to view the world. We used to call him Kippyisms back in the day. I miss being around him with those. Two peas in a pot was always my favorite.
No, I listen to Nick's radio show almost every day. I think it's the most entertaining radio show in the afternoons in North America when it comes to pure unadulterated hockey. They do a hell of a job, both for the Maple Leafs, and they do a national hour that's as good as any.
So we'll really lean good. Into his expertise next, and maybe some tales from trade deadline shows past. Darren Millard, along with John Shannon on 100% Hockey. Stay with us.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
See if we can get through this without the phone buzzing and Kipper have to say, I got to take this. We've been through it before over the years with Nick Kyprios joining us on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Hope you enjoyed this on YouTube and all the various podcast platforms. My favorite thing is when you would just walk through the studio with a sandwich and say, hey, what's up? As we filled for like 3 hours without a trade. That was my favorite parts of trade deadline.
It really is incredible how the whole thing just evolved. And really not having any real control over anything. It got to the point where we were so, you know, structured at the start. And by the end of it years later, we're like, oh, we're on. I didn't know. I mean, it was crazy. It was fun. I think people appreciated the feeling of going along with the ride instead of having a structured show, which John Shannon knows all along early in his career, how television first started that process and where it ended up. I miss it at times for sure.
I tell you what, I was telling Darren on Monday, I don't miss this week at all. Because I would spend the whole week bugging people and then spend next week apologizing. So.
Well, there's always that element, you know, and when you're on the outside looking in, and I include all the insiders, right? You're still on the outside,
yep.
But you're at the mercy of somebody telling you something and hoping that your phone rings, hoping that your calls get returned, and hoping that the information is as accurate as it can be. Those are stressful times for sure. But again, I think once you establish that the viewers are along for the ride and they understand, you know, all of it, there's still an element of entertainment for sure, especially with the networks right up here.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you feel more pressure as a player in your role or as a newsbreaker?
Well, it kind of built up, right? I didn't have a destination of being an insider or breaking news. It just kind of evolved that way. And, you know, I mean, we had fun guys around. So that was always a great element that we could have fun with it. But yeah, the pressure does mount on some of these guys to go on TV and be the first to break. It's not what it used to be, for sure. There's so many people out there, so many platforms. Everybody thinks that they're an insider and a newsbreaker now, just not the ones on major networks. So it's got a different feel for it, for sure. But at the time, for sure, we were in a big battle with TSN, Sportsnet. It was Coke versus Pepsi. And we wanted to be first. We wanted to be fast and accurate. At times, we were able to do that, which moved Sportsnet up the ladder of being a credible news outlet. And, you know, we were fortunate, all three of us, to be a part of that.
But actually, Darren brings up a really good point. As a player, did you worry about this week?
As a former player?
Well, when you played.
Oh, when I played, yes.
When you played?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, and what was the discussion like in the dressing room?
Oh, my gosh. Get out of practice fast enough. Don't even shower before they can find you and tell you that you've been moved. It's very stressful as a player. And most often than not, John, you still have guys, and I'm up here in Toronto, they're having a miserable season. But what do they say? I like it here. I don't want to move. I don't want to pack my bags up and find a new team. So I think about 70-80% of the players that they hear their names out there right now do not want to get traded. They like their teammates. They like their situation, whether it's a family situation, a community situation, kids in school. It's a very difficult time for players to be uprooted now.
Do you remember a team that you were on where there was a deadline deal where either somebody came in or a significant piece went out?
Oh, my gosh. The year we won the Stanley Cup, we had six new players. I'll never forget the trade deadline day. We were in Calgary, and Coley Campbell's our assistant coach, and they're trying to get him not to give us the meal money until after the deadline, so they could save about $2,000, $3,000. It was like, it was crazy. And yet we're in the Calgary visiting room, and we start hearing all these names leave. I think Phil Bourque and Mike Gartner and,
Get called into the office?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like, you're gone too? You're gone too? Like, who's left? And then, you know, there's no phones to go and look up Stephen Matteau or Brian Noonan's name, you know? So it's like, oh, yeah, those guys from Chicago. Okay. All right. Tony Amonte, gone. Tony Amonte was a big deal when I got traded to the New York Rangers. And he was gone. So Keenan found a way to shake the tree that day. That's for sure.
So what was it like in the room after? Were you like stunned or were you excited because of the swap?
Well, I'm looking around and we only got like 13 guys on the team now. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to play a lot tonight. That was the only thing I said is like, oh, this is good. I gotta have a good game.
All right. So how many teams are buyers and how many teams are sellers right now? Have we figured that one out?
Well, it's a seller's market, John, for these big names, and it's a buyer's market for third and fourth liners is the best I can describe what we may see in the coming days here. So our team's now all waiting. We haven't had any movement. We're like Wednesday, and we have had almost zilch. So what does that mean? Everybody's got to find out what's going to happen with Robert Thomas and Patterson, perhaps Kadri out there. Once a Trocheck moves or one of the guys I just mentioned, it'll just free up a lot of other teams, I think, to do business. But right now, we're stuck in a marketplace until somebody pulls the trigger.
Those guys you mentioned all have term left. This used to be a day about rentals.
Yeah, you're right. But like, it gets harder and harder now for these guys with term who are young enough that you can say, well, they're going to be around for the next 5 or 7 years, which hasn't really happened over the last little while. So this is kind of new and fresh. So are some of these new CBA terms that what you can do in the past, you can't do now. Of course, double retention. Mm-hmm. That was a savior for teams the last few years at this time of year. That's gone. So a lot of teams still trying to figure out what the rules are and how it'll apply. What are the implications, not only for this week, but for the coming years to my salary cap. So maybe another reason why we haven't seen too much up until this point.
How on earth can the Vancouver Canucks move Elias Pettersson?
Well, John, we all saw his interview, right?
This week. No. I'm not saying why. Yeah. I'm not saying why. Yeah. I'm saying how.
Well, you do it because there's another team out there that sees upside, that sees potential for him to come in and become more of the player that scored 100 points and less than the one that's at 50. And I think Vancouver realizes that they're not trading him on a high, so the return might not be as great as it would if you are selling him as a point-a-game guy, which I think he still is. I don't think he's fallen off. He just needs to get out of there, and he needs a fresh change. So there has to be a meeting of the minds between two parties, and I do believe it's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if it doesn't happen, then it'll happen in the summer. But they're not long for each other. I think everybody knows that, and it's just a matter of hitting a certain spot that appeases Jimmy Rutherford and Patrick Alvin.
Do you think it's reached the point where Vancouver would have to retain salary to move it?
I don't get the deal, Darren, on this. We won't retain salary. Like, at the end of the day, Vancouver is in for a long haul here. And no one's saying that they have to be a cap team. So if you're going to be around the floor, which we think Calgary will be for the next couple of years, what do you care about whether or not you pay Kadri on another team or you have to pay another player to come in and fill a spot to get to the floor? I mean, it's dollars you're going to have to spend at a floor anyway. So yeah. What is the big deal about retaining a couple of million dollars? The most important thing to Vancouver and Calgary is if they retain salary, that they get additional assets. That means that the second becomes a first. It means that instead of a C prospect, I get a B prospect or an A minus prospect. Like, just turn it into assets, and the money's irrelevant.
What did you think of Pettersson's interview?
Oh gosh, painful. Just painful for everybody. Like, if you're a season ticket holder in Vancouver, do you want to go watch that now? Right? He comes across bitter and salty, and I don't see how that ever gets recovered in that market. So just look at your best options and find a way to get a deal done. Get them out of there.
If you were in the world of being a manager and you said, okay, we need, you know, we need that second line center / third line guy. I think second, Robert Thomas or Naz?
Well, Robert Thomas, for anybody that envisions him being there for the next 5 or 7 years or 10 years, the age is incredible for Robert Thomas. He's going to help me win not only this year, but like I said, you know, 5 or 7 years from now, he's still going to be there. So it's very rare, John, that we see players of this caliber, this young, hit a market like that. So, you know, we were just talking about the other day on my Real Kipper and Bourne show about the return that the Rangers got from the Leafs on Brian Leetch, and it was like it was two what at the time were considered A prospects and a first round pick and a second round pick, and I don't think any of them showed up and played anything right. significant in the NHL. Like it was a zilch trade for the New York Rangers on Brian Leetch, who came in and was a point of game guy and still playing at a very high level. So he's giving up three or four quality pieces for Robert Thomas, that big of a deal when you're getting a guy who's 26, 27 years of age in his prime.
So that leads me to ask the question, why is St. Louis doing it?
Yeah, good question. You know, I think if you're a team, you certainly want to do your homework on that. Are there any issues, John? You know, typically, is there a feeling that, you know, this guy doesn't bring it every night, that he's not great in the room, that there's issues around Robert Thomas? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But certainly if I want to make this type of investment, I'll do my homework to the best of my abilities to find out, you know, why doesn't St. Louis feel like they can still build around this guy?
Take a break and we'll get into what's happening in your backyard of Toronto with the Maple Leafs. It's full of snow.
It's still full of snow. That's what's in his backyard. I can tell you that.
I remember the days when Kipper had the backyard rink. All world. It's Real Kipper, Nick Brios with 100% Hockey, Millard and Shannon.
Car shopping should be exciting, not exhausting. That's where Car Gurus comes in. They have advanced search tools, unbiased deal ratings, and price history, so you know a great deal when you see one. It's no wonder that Car Gurus is the number one rated car shopping app in Canada. When you're car shopping on your phone, it shouldn't be a maze. You need to see all the information. With the Car Gurus app, you can. Powerful search tools that you see deal ratings, price history, and dealer reviews on listings all in one place. And you can turn on real-time price drop alerts so you never miss a great deal. Car Gurus connects you with trusted dealerships when you're ready, ensuring a transparent, hassle-free buying process. Buy your next car today at cargurus.ca. Make sure your deal is the best deal. That's cargurus.ca. Cargurus.ca.
Okay, you did have like the best backyard rink in the city.
Yeah.
In the day.
Yeah, that's one of the perks I can tell you of playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs and then living in this town after is that people still remember all these years. So you do occasionally get a good deal every once in a while on things, including a backyard rink. So I had a guy that was willing to do it for me and at a fraction of the cost. And of course, you know, you got to throw him a few tickets every once in a while or show up at his kid's birthday party.
U.S. birthday party entertainment would be something I would sign up for.
Oh, no. Oh, I just have the vision of this clown coming to the front door now. I just, sorry. Nick the clown.
As long as I got the first piece of cake, I was okay.
Are you surprised the Maple Leafs are at this stage, or are you part of the group that saw coming?
Well, I will tell you that there were very few people around here that believed that they'd be in a position today of being at the bottom of the Atlantic Division. I did not have them winning the division again, but I certainly didn't have them missing the playoffs. But there were signs, Darren, and I think it's just, you know, time kind of sorts everything out. This isn't a team that was still in the beginning or the middle of the process of trying to win a championship. This was a build of 10 years now, and this team did get old quickly. Yeah. And it got slow quickly to the degree where I thought it would look like this. No, absolutely not. I'm as surprised as anyone that, like I said, they're sitting at the bottom of the of the division. But you know, where are they on how far they need to go to turn this thing around? That's the debatable question here in Toronto. Is it just trimming around the edges, or is it just a complete blow it up and rebuild? Right now, me personally, if I was running the team, if I was the general manager, I'd suck it up for a few years and make some major changes and get some real key assets in here. And that would include, you know, OEL and Brandon Carlo probably carry the most clout this week for them to get legitimate first round picks if it is possible. And then you got to go deeper into that with Austin Matthews and Willie Nylander, which won't be decided in the next few days, but would have to be looked upon in the offseason on what direction you want to go with them moving forward.
Major surgery in the summer then?
I don't know, John. It doesn't seem to me like the Maple Leaf brass is interested in that right now. And maybe they're a little inspired by the Boston Bruins, who missed the playoffs last year and are in a situation of making the playoffs this year. And maybe they feel like they can go down that path.
By the way, one of the reasons the Bruins are ahead of them was the trade sure. they made with the Maple Leafs.
Sure.
But they've got Don Sweeney has never been afraid to pull the trigger on anything.
No, and they've drafted high in the last couple of years, and Minton, as you mentioned, dropping in their lap and now staring at a top 10 pick, maybe six or seven from the Toronto Maple Leafs. So not only are they allowed to shorten the window to make the playoffs, you know, they may be a year or two away from competing for a Stanley Cup again if some of these younger kids really step up again in the next few years for Boston.
I want to touch on the acquisition from the summer and Mitch Marner's importance. We knew it would affect the team. You're losing a 100-point guy, but is the impact more stated than we expected?
I think people are starting to realize that. And on the surface last summer, it was just about replacing 100 points. And they didn't realize that, you know, on paper, it looks like 100 points. But when you factor what it's done to Austin Matthews, what it's done to Matthew Nyes, who's also was on that line, and then the trickle effect to Morgan Riley on the blue line, maybe it's 200 points. You know, you want to talk about goaltending? Well, he's one of the best 200 players, you know, in the league when it comes to defense as well. He's constantly a sulky looking kind of player at 200 feet. So what is not having Mitch Marner on the ice defensively do for Stolarz and Joseph Woll as well? Right now they're sitting middle of the league, you know, as a tandem, but you know, would they have been back in the top 10 with Mitch Marner playing 24 minutes a night? The impact was huge on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, you know, is it a coincidence that the Leafs lose Mitch Marner, their best 200-foot player, and they miss the playoffs? And then you look at Florida, and they miss their best 200-foot player, and they miss the playoffs? Come on, it's not that hard to figure it out.
Yeah, but Sasha Barkov's coming back.
Why, John? Why?
No. Even next year, at least he's coming back. He's coming back next year. It's not as if Mitch is coming back.
I know. And we're going to talk about in the summer that the Florida Panthers could have what it takes to win the third Stanley Cup, you know, in 4 years.
Yeah.
You mentioned Austin Matthews and William Nylander. How realistic do you think it is that in the summer they do make a bold move and changing out one of those two pieces? Because I've heard the same thing about Austin Matthews.
Well, it may not be the Leafs making this decision. It could be Austin making this decision. Yes. right?
So like following in the footsteps of a Mitch?
Of
like
a Matthew.
I would like a change.
No, of a Matthew Tkachuk, where he doesn't even get to free agency. He mm-hmm. just says that I'm not considering resigning here. And then now the Leafs got a value. How do we trade him? How fast can we trade him? If he's got 2 years left on his deal, it makes the trade much more valuable than 1 year on the deal. Like all those factors come in. But we're in the day and age where these star players, Darren, are controlling a lot of this. Connor McDavid's in similar situation. He signed a 2 year deal. That was a big message to the Edmonton Oilers that if I don't like what I see, I'm out of here. And I think Austin's in the same position.
The Toronto Maple Leafs, Nick, people aren't supposed to want out there, or they're not supposed to be against re-signing.
I know.
Well, Darren, hold on, guys. Oh, that's recent history. Yeah. that's in this, you know, 10-year window, 12-year window where the Leafs were, you know, a division leader and a factor. There were decades where guys wanted out. This was the Toronto was not always the haven to play. They have Brendan Shanahan did a magnificent job of making this a great place to play. And he deserves credit for it.
Listen, I'm an alumnus, okay? We're treated like, I'll use Mitch Marner's, we're treated like rock stars, gold. Yeah. Like we have a wonderful team of ex-players in the community. They give us a wonderful box. They treat us great. I mean, there is still reasons why people want to stay here. And of course, they envision what it would be like to bring a championship to this city. And, you know, even if you have a bad year or if you're getting ripped on, it still may not outweigh the thought of, wow, could I be a part of something really special in this market?
I mean, when the idols of this generation and the previous generation are Doug Gilmore, was a great player as a Leaf, wasn't here very long, Wendell, and Darryl.
Yeah.
And none of them won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Darcy Tucker.
None of them won the Stanley Cup.
And yet if they walk in the Scotiabank Arena.
Oh, pictures.
It takes them an hour to get from the front door to our alumni box.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It truly is, which is why it is the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
It is the Holy Grail, winning in Toronto, and people would die for it.
Yeah,
can you sell me on making a push for a playoff spot at all?
As early as next year?
Yeah, or as early as this year? You're nine points out. You win a couple of games. You're back in.
Not happening. Just not happening. No. Listen, Boston. Columbus, Washington in the East, much better teams. The Leafs have holes. They don't have anybody to really – they don't have anybody yet really to support three guys up front.
Yeah, the big boys have all done their job, right?
No. Austin's had an off year. The numbers aren't there. Willie's cooled down. Matthew Nyes
hasn't had a good year.
But
I was talking to Tavares. I was thinking Nylander, Tavares, and Austin.
Listen, Tavares is signed now at $3.5 million, and he can't carry a top six anymore. Can he still be useful on the power play? Can he get you points? Yes, but he's not in a position now to be one of the focal points of a push now for Stanley Cup playoffs. They're going to have to go out and get creative, and they're going to have some people that weren't necessarily pegged as a top six guy step up. But there's a lot of work to do here, Darren, in a very short period of time.
It's funny. And we haven't really talked about the defense, because let's face it, the defense has been a huge issue all year long. I mean, you can't, they've had a difficult time getting the puck out of their own zone at times.
Yeah. Well, Morgan Rielly struggled the most, John, and it's just been far too long now where he's constantly put in a position where he cannot succeed. And whether it's like the 20 times they've taken him off the power play only to put him back on, defensively he's not getting the job done. His gaps aren't great. And he's constantly shoveling pucks out of his net for a faceoff at center ice. He needs a change as much as Patterson needs one in Vancouver.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think Montreal's going to do, if anything?
I don't know. I don't believe that they believe that they're ready for the here and now. So I think they will dangle some of their assets out there. But are they ready to pull the trigger on Robert Thomas? What would Binnington do in a short period of time? I think Dobish, they like, of course, and is the future there.
Well, Fowler's the future there.
But not now.
Right.
So would they think about bringing Binnington on a short situation of this spring and next year? I think it's highly unlikely. I would do it. I'm not sure if I can convince Binnington to come up here knowing that he's not going to be up here for the next 4 or 5 years. That one's a tough one to convince Binnington on.
But what about Kadri in Montreal? Does that make sense?
The feeling was all along that they're not too interested. He just is a little too old with a little bit too much term on his deal. But to me, that would look like an audible on their call to race to try to win a Stanley Cup now. And I'm not sure they're ready for that.
But I tell you what, Nick, the East is wide open.
I agree.
I think one of the reasons we're starting to hear that Buffalo is starting to stir the pot.
Yeah.
Is because Buffalo looks at the standings and say, we can win the East.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree. And then up until a couple of weeks ago, with even Florida and Toronto, like if you were able to kind of get your junk in order and get into a situation where you're playing like 640, 650 hockey, you would have sat there and said, I'm going to go into the playoffs as one of the hottest teams in the East. Right. And you would have been dangerous when you look around. Listen, Tampa Bay, if Vasilevsky's on, they look pretty deep. And up until, the last couple of games, they looked unbeatable, right? But Carolina's right there for me as well. What do they do? We mentioned Binnington. They got Busey, right? Is he ready?
Yeah.
Is he ready now to take them to a conference final or Stanley Cup final, or do you convince Binnington to come in there for a short period of time? Because I believe Busey's the future there too in that.
I got one more for you, but before we get to that, what do you think our buddy DJ does in LA to turn that program around?
Look at Ken Holland and go, what are you doing to get this program turned around? That's what DJ is going to do. And, all right. They don't have the horses, Darren. They're looking for their next star to replace Kopitar, and they haven't found him yet.
It's the only coaching change. We were talking about this last night, where the person that was promoted to assistant got more attention than the person that was promoted as head coach. Because everybody loves Matt Green.
I was going to say, that's because Alec Martinez loves Matt Green. That's right.
We all love Matt Green. He's a funny guy. So it's interesting to see what they'll do there.
Can I ask you what your Vegas Golden Knights are going to do all of a sudden? Do they have a goaltending issue there?
Well, Kira Schmidt's done everything asked of him. And they might have to ask a little bit more from him until they can find Aiden Hill's rhythm again. He hasn't been on form since he's come back from the injury, played great going into the break, and it was poorly timed because his best game of the year was going into the break. And then coming out of it, he's been off production from a goaltending perspective. So Carter Hart, is he coming back? I don't know that, but they need better goaltending out of Aiden Hill.
Oh man. And they just signed him to a six-year deal. Wow. Yeah. He's got to get it going here. I mean, you went out and got Mitch Marner and you got Anderson and, yeah, that's the number one question here is if Hill can find his game again.
Can he rediscover that top level? Meal money doesn't exist anymore in its form of an envelope. And that's might be the Kipper rule. Is that true based on what happened to you with meal money?
Yeah. I went on the longest trip in the American Hockey League, 18 days. I got just under $1,000. I go to the back of the bus. I put it on the little ledge and it slides down below the window where it's trapped. I go to the bus driver. I'm like, buddy, I got my meal money trapped in there. And he just starts laughing. He goes, we would have to take the whole bus apart for you to get your meal money back. So the rest of the trip, I'm like, can I have a French fry? Can I have a French fry to my teammates? Can I have a bite of your hamburger?
And then you fast forward to trade deadline day and you had the big spread.
Oh, yeah.
And you had the first crack at all the food because we were locked on the main desk.
Those days are long gone.
Doug McClain's upstairs at the GM's room. He's locked in and you're walking around with the great sandwiches.
Yep. Like I said, I miss those days.
By the way, who's on the top of your trade thing on .ca?
Right now, I honestly believe Robert Thomas is going to be gone by Friday. Could be wrong, but I think, you know, and Doug Armstrong, you know, wants to pass something over to Alex Dean, who takes over as general manager next year. No better way to do that than a ton of assets.
Flip your hat down so I can see it in the YouTube audience.
Oh, there you go. There, the real Kipper and Bourne.
Those are nice. Oh, a little corporate sponsorship.
Look at that. Yeah. Take care of my boys.
You're Formula One-esque right there.
A little bit. Yeah, we may have to make a trade, right? 100% for a real Kipper.
We don't trade. We'll just give you one, Nick. We don't care. You just got to wear
attention
it.
Either.
You got to wear it. That's all.
So be honest. You asked Doug McClain on today. He turned you down.
Because he would just give us heck for having Hitch on for 8 days. And I don't think I could take that. I don't think I could take that for eight.
Not much we can take.
Doses. Great to see you, buddy.
Doses with Doug. Doses. Thanks, guys.
Be good, buddy. Enjoy.
All right.
Back with more on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen.
And he scores!
Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
Okay, could you imagine $1,000 going down between the window and the frame of the bus and you can't get it? At that stage when money is very important, I would be sweating bullets. I'd have my screwdriver. I'd be going, getting every tool I could to get that thing off.
I just, you know, I've heard the story before and every time I just marvel at it. I really do. But here, hold on. Would you leave $1,000 on the windowsill of a bus? Honestly.
But I understand what he was doing. He was just putting the envelope up and it slid down. Yes, I can see myself doing that.
No, I can't. That's in your breast pocket all the way, baby. That's in your breast pocket. Come on. It's $1,000.
Not sure I would have had a breast pocket either.
Of course, you know, by the time Nick got to Sportsnet and being the star he was, $1,000 was like lunch.
Yeah. he was using it as the napkin to eat his sandwich on.
We did we went for dinner one night on the company in New York during one of the work stoppages. Oh my God. He ordered so much food and then turned to us and said, "What do you guys want?" I thought he was buying for the table.
He never got ripped off on those meals.
No, I know. Don't worry. Rogers is paying this one, boys.
When you look at ahead to Friday.
Yeah.
And the deadline passes and they finalize all the deals. Will we be underwhelmed by what happened? Do you think it has the potential to change the landscape at all?
Well, I mean, to Nick's point, Robert Thomas is a top end player with obviously some question marks. But I just don't see if Thomas is that good. The expectation is that he's going to bring a really good return, mm-hmm. and I don't know or think that there's anybody out there that is prepared to give that type of return. That's the challenge. If you want three moving parts and a draft pick or something like that, if you're in Montreal, you can't give that up. You're not there yet. You have done an amazing job in 3 to 4 years of setting the foundation. You don't throw it out the window in the short term.
But he is an impact player, and he's young enough to be around for a while.
Yes, but,
he never would have got to market in the past. No. It's just a strange year for that.
Yes, yeah. But that it does speak to, I think, more of what's going on in St. Louis than what's going on in the rest of the league. Mm. This is a changing of the guard in St. Louis with Alex Steen taking over as the manager and Doug Armstrong being the president of hockey ops. So
Steen are saying, no, don't do it.
I think Alex has a vote at the table. I think Doug has done a good job of tutoring and mentoring and he understands in the future, this is Alex's team. Alex has a big voice at that table. Owner, by the way, as I said, Tom Stillman's part of this too. He's going to play a role as the owner. So you do wonder how serious it is. And if you can get a great return, then do it. But, nobody knows what the return is. Nobody knows.
I think Carolina would be a perfect destination there. I know it's been talked about, but there's been like 3 or 4 other teams. But I think Carolina does something before Friday.
They've never been afraid to try.
No. It is wide open right now. So maybe this is the year in this last window that's opened up for Carolina to make the breakthrough.
Yeah. And I think they had hoped that Nick Ehlers would be that, because Nick Ehlers has had a pretty good season there.
Yeah. I was going to say he hasn't been bad.
No. But he's... The thing that I've always said about Carolina is that when they get into a tough situation in the postseason, because they play the regular season with such intensity.
Yeah. I think they run out of gas halfway through the playoffs.
How they ratchet it up for the postseason.
And you can game plan more for them in a series, right? A Tuesday in January, they will blow your socks off.
Absolutely. And, they're going, we're going to see that a little bit in Western Canada this weekend. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be somebody that stands up in the room and says, boys, I'm going to, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not saying that the person does that, but I'm going to will this team to victory. And they've never had that body. They have never had that body. You know, that's the issue. And the question, if you're going to say Robert Thomas would help there, is Robert Thomas that type of guy? Is he that type of person?
Think he can be.
Well,
then. I think he can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, you know the song they're going to play in St. Louis if he does get traded or when he does get traded?
Okay.
When You're Gone, Matchbox 20 by Rob Thomas.
Is that on your playlist?
Yes. I love my Matchbox 20. I think we're sleeping on Pittsburgh, too.
Well, Kyle's an interesting... Kyle never stops thinking, right? Mm-hmm. Never stops thinking. So... the one team I think that we're, I mean, Calgary's going to, I think, got to think they're going to move a few bodies, you know, move Nas. You know, where does Blake Coleman fit in all this? I know he likes playing there. I know that, you know, he's been an asset for them for a long time on and off the ice, but does it make sense now? The Anderson deal got done. You know, does Zach Whitecloud stay?
Yeah, there was talk that they might, from the initial trade there, that they might look at flipping a good asset. Okay, we'll follow and we'll enjoy it. And on Friday, we'll take a different angle to the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Pete DeBoer.
Yeah, you'd see what a coach feels about how he manages situations, how involved he is. And then we'll ask him a couple questions about overtime in the Olympics.
What trade deadline day is like for a coach and what it was like on the bench during a gold medal final at the Olympic Games with all that intensity. You know, go download some Matchbox 20. It's timeless, man. It's so good.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to do it.
I do have some Robert Thomas on, but it's not from his Matchbox 20 days. So.
Oh, the solo venture. 100% hockey. We don't want that here. We don't like solo ventures on 100% hockey.
Might have to some days.
We'll see what happens on Friday. Millard and Shannon, we'll be back with you on 100% Hockey, the podcast.